Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, the 11th of January, 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. We are Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And, of course, we're delighted to have our simulcast partners, our friends in Gila County and Globe, listen to us on KJAA AM 1240, and all of our friends in Cochise County, listening in Douglas out of KAPR AM 930. And we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. And we try to make this program very easy for you to listen to anywhere, anytime. We realize that not everyone can listen to a live program every day. So you can go to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. All have our program available for you anywhere, anytime. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We begin with a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. 20 minutes or so past the hour, we'll talk with renowned astronomer and comet discoverer David Levy. 30 minutes past the hour, nutrition reporter Jack Challum will join us, and we'll close out the show with the author of a new book on healthcare. It's titled Healthcare in 2020, Where Uncertain Reform, Bad Habits, Too Few Doctors, and Skyrocketing Costs are Taking Us. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Richard Elias joins us now in studio, Pima County Supervisor. I think you can still say Happy New Year, even though we're 11 days into the new year. It's the first time I've seen you in the new year, so Happy New Year, Richard.
Thank you, Bill, and Happy New Year to you and to all your listeners all across the state. I wish them wealth and health during the new year and all the best there is to offer.
Well, Richard, the state legislature is in session again, and if I am a member of the Pima County Board of Supervisors or a member, I guess, of any county supervisor organization in Arizona or any city for that matter, I'm not so sure that's a good thing.
Well, they certainly didn't do a good job of respecting local control in the last year and cost taxpayers in the county millions of dollars here in Pima County, especially Pima County and Maricopa County. But again, we're here, we respect their authority, but we have to challenge them on some crucial issues that are coming up.
And people wonder about the roads. We had Priscilla Cornelia, the Pima County Transportation Director, on the program last week saying, Richard, and you know this very well, that it gets to the point where with existing roads now in the county, you can just do patchwork just so much.
Absolutely. And we're beyond that point.
Yeah.
Many of our roads are going to have to be rebuilt completely in order to make them safe for people once again. Those highway user revenue funds that have been absconded with by the state legislature in the past 2 years are critical to us being able to repair those roads, rebuild those roads that need to be rebuilt. Minus that, the people of Pima County are going to be really in a situation where they're not as safe as they should be on many of the county-maintained roads.
And as Priscilla said, if it is a safety issue, please call the Pima County Transportation Department because that will then become a priority issue.
We absolutely will make those priority issues. We understand the importance of that. But again, we need folks to contact their legislators and let them know that this is not acceptable because ultimately we are Arizonans, and we deserve to have the dollars that should be spent down here in Pima County actually make it to Pima County.
And the cost shifting is already being proposed. The governor wants to undo a law that would require counties to incarcerate inmates sentenced to less than a year in prison for felonies. That is now the responsibility of the State Department of Corrections. That would shift now to Pima County and the other counties. That could be at least $40 million a year to the counties.
Absolutely. The biggest issue that we have on the table this year is shifting those prisoners over to county jails. $40 million is the low end of that estimate. We really don't know what it's going to be. But number one, county jails are not really designed to hold prisoners that have been in penitentiaries or have a long period of time to serve. That amount of money, we really don't know what it's going to be. This is an issue that I certainly hope the legislature hears the governor's voice and will respond to it and rescind the rules that they passed last year that changed all of that. It's crucial to us all. Again, one that we really need our legislators to hear about.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias is our newsmaker guest today on the Buckmaster Show at 10 minutes past 12 on this Wednesday afternoon. And Richard, I know you've been following very closely TUSD and the board decision to basically dismantle the Mexican-American Studies program. Is this the end of the story as far as from what you believe?
No, I don't think this is the end of the story. With last night's bad decision made by TUSD.
4-1 vote.
Absolutely, 4-1 vote. With that bad decision last night, we have created a whole new class of litigants that are now going to look at what we need to do to protect TUSD students and their educational rights. Very difficult situation, certainly one that nobody relishes. But in the end, I think it's a matter of local control, and I respect Adelita Grijalva for standing strong in her vote last night.
And she was the only dissenting vote. Postal Service, Richard Elias, is going to be closing or wants to close the processing center here in Tucson. I got to tell you, Richard, this is really a dumb decision. There's nearly a million people, as you know, that live in the valley here in the Tucson area. And we're talking about also in Pima County, the Tohono O'odham Reservation. The impact on this, closing the processing center and sending all mail to Phoenix, is really crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Not only will we lose a lot of jobs and hurt a lot of working families that have good living wage jobs, we will also find ourselves in a situation of jeopardizing all-mail voting that the city of Tucson has engaged in, as well as delivering ballots to people in the rural areas out on the reservation. F. Ann Rodriguez is going to be here tomorrow with you.
She will. She'll be our lead interview tomorrow at 12:04.
She's written a great letter to the Department of Justice outlining her
page letter to the Justice Department, single-spaced. I'm telling you, this is a very detailed letter. She believes this would be a major violation.
Absolutely. We also have other critical documents that are sent out from our courts, Superior, Justice, and Juvenile Court, that are very important that they're delivered in a timely manner. It impact on business, losing bulk rate ability.
Nonprofits.
The
local food bank, Richard, relies heavily on direct mail for fundraising without this, what they call a pre-sort discount. The cost to mail 75,000 pieces for local delivery for the food bank would increase by $3,000. Because this so-called pre-sort discount would not apply to the Phoenix nonprofits sending the mail up to Phoenix.
That's correct.
This is going to have a really big impact.
Absolutely. The impact to us and to business and to government and to just people in their ordinary lives is tremendous. Tucson is one of the larger cities and larger areas, southern Arizona, in the nation that are losing their mail processing center. That's happening because actually they overbuilt the Phoenix mail processing center so much that it has the capacity to handle that volume of work, they think. However, managing that volume of work in a timely manner with crucial documents, I'm afraid they are not going to make happen. But even more from a business perspective, how is it that the post office thinks that they are going to be able to improve the quality of their service while they're charging the same thing and offering less service? That is just an oxymoron unto itself. The only hope that we really have, I think, is that this whole decision about mail processing centers is going to be made by the U.S. Congress, and likely it'll be made prior to May 5th. So while there is a comment period that ends on the 12th to the U.S.
Tomorrow.
Postal Service tomorrow. You can still comment to our local representatives and their offices as well, and also to our U.S. senators. So I highly encourage people to contact Congressman Grijalva and Giffords, as well as Senator Kyle and Senator McCain, and let them know what this is doing to business in Tucson, what it's doing to government in Tucson, what it's doing to nonprofits in Tucson, and what it's doing to the lives of normal, ordinary folks.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think at this point, now the deadline tomorrow, you can do that written letter, but I think just a phone call to Congressman Grijalva's office, to Congresswoman Giffords' office, just say, call them up. The numbers are readily available. Just say, I'm against this, and I want my opinion to be heard on this, because ultimately it will be Congress that's going to decide on this.
That's right. And there also are some pieces of legislation that are in front of Congress right now that will help ease the situation, the financial situation that the post office is in. So I think that we also have to have an understanding of that and what Congress can do. Not just say no, but provide some relief for the Postal Service, because they provide a vital service to all of us. And it is in the United States Constitution. And it's one of the few government services that goes to your front door 6 days a week.
And I happen to like that. 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Richard Elias is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Pima County supervisors have okayed that courts complex. They're hoping you and your colleagues, Richard, the city is going to join in. What's the latest on that?
Well, you know, Mr. Huckleberry has met with Manager Miranda and also with Councilmember Kosacek to talk about his concerns. He had a lot of concerns about it, as well as some other council members. But really, we are prepared to move forward with the project. We feel that it's important to create those jobs. To make sure that we get that courts building started, follow through on the promises we made to voters when they approved bonds to build it, and recognizing that we have a commitment to public safety that is going to be met with this courthouse. This is something that we've been planning for more than 10 years, and I recognize that the city is in a very difficult financial situation. We respect that. We are not bullying them in any way, shape, or form, but I think we all understand that we need to move forward at a certain point. The county is prepared to move forward with or without the city on this project, and we will find the money to finish the building. We are going to do this first phase. That's what we voted on, but we will find the money to finish it, and if the city wants to, we'll be more than happy to work together with them to find an equitable way for them to be able to repay their share, and we can move forward and rest assured that our magistrates, that our justice court judges, and those lawyers and those litigants, both civil and criminal, will be taken care of in what will be a facility that meets the needs of Pima County well into the future.
Speaking of bonds, any decision or has the bonding recommendations, when is that going to be coming up before the supervisors? That there would there possibly be a bond election in 2012 this year?
We'll likely look at that in early spring. So really, that's a question that has yet to be resolved. The package is still being considered by the bond committee. But we have not made a final decision about what's going to happen. I would caution folks, there's an awful long ballot that's going to be out there in November. That's very difficult for people to add more questions to it. But we also need to think about the financial needs of our community and how we move forward. Pima County has done a good job of repaying its debt and not increasing taxes because of the debt that we've incurred related to bonds. I think that speaks well for us. I think we also need to recognize that we're meeting the needs of the other jurisdictions in Pima County as well. Ajo, Oro Valley, Marana, Sahuarita, Green Valley, Tucson, the city of South Tucson, all are dependent for many of their capital improvements on bonding authority from the county. So we're going to look at it very carefully, take a look at our financial situation, take a look at the financial outlook, but also consider realistically the ramifications of adding to what is going to already be a very long ballot in November.
Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much, Richard. Good to see you, Supervisor. Have a great new year.
Thank you very much, and I wish everybody a great Martin Luther King holiday this weekend. It's something that we should all be proud of and take the time to reflect on the civil rights gains that we've all made in this nation.
We will be reflecting here on the Buckmaster Show on King Day, and thank you very much, Supervisor.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up on 1220 on the Buckmaster Show, David Levy, the renowned comet discoverer, is coming up next. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. David Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David's the former Parade Magazine science editor. He, along with his wife Wendy, are founders of the National Sharing the Sky Foundation, an organization intended to inspire new generations to develop an inquiring interest in the sciences, and in other words, to reach the stars. David, how are you?
I'm fine. Do I have the distinct honor and privilege of talking to the famous William Buckmaster, star of stage and screen?
It is I, David. It is I. Yes. Sharing the Sky. You've got Sharing the Sky Night coming up, right?
Yes, it's coming up on March the 31st, and it will be at the University of Arizona Mall. And we hope to get a lot of people. There will be over 40 telescopes there, we expect. And we'll be able to look at all of the major planets, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, and possibly Mercury as well.
Hey, David, what happened to that Russian Mars mission?
I saw it a few nights ago, just before dawn. It's moving very quickly in a very low orbit, and it's very soon going to crash into the Indian Ocean. I just checked that. And it's scheduled right now to re-enter over the Indian Ocean in a couple of days.
Things didn't go well for them.
No, it didn't. The Russians are having bad luck with sending things to Mars. But we used to have bad luck with our Mars Observer that didn't do very well. But we're doing much better now.
David, we've seen some pretty interesting meteor showers of late.
Oh, we certainly have. And I remember on New Year's morning, I saw a couple of meteors that apparently came from a comet that I discovered in 2006, and I actually recorded one of them in my photographic comet search program. I actually caught one of those meteors. Also, the quadrantid meteors on the morning of the 4th were really quite beautiful. I saw 65 of them.
65? In what period of time?
In about 2 hours. It was just fantastic.
Hey, David, let me ask you something. Why is the night sky important in our national discussion? I guess you could call it kind of in the astro-political realm.
I think it's important to us because it gives us something else to look at, to look forward to. And it takes us away from the typical run of what you hear on the news every evening and actually causes us to pause and contemplate the universe. It is an actually wonderful thing to look at, to be able to change gears, like, for a few minutes every day. And I think it's a very important thing to do. And obviously that was agreed to by most of the politicians in our country. And in fact, a couple of years ago, there was a star party at the university, at the White House, to celebrate the International Year of Astronomy. And the president said the same thing, that it gives us a chance to reflect on our origins and on our future by looking up and beholding the wonders of the universe out there.
Are you having any luck, David, finding that elusive number 24, that comet?
Oh, it's not lucky at all, Bill. I've actually often thought of giving it up, but I'm not quite ready yet to give up. I'm still searching, still wondering, and I'm also looking at this, something that I read recently in Thoreau and Walden, when he says, "Why should we be in such desperate haste to succeed anyway? If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away." The music that I'm hearing right now, Bill, is hardly measured at all, and it's extremely distant. But I'm still marching to it.
David, of course, the asteroid belt is getting a lot of interest. The mission to an asteroid, and our friends at the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, of which you are a part of, have really made great strides with that mission, haven't they?
Yes, they have. It's right now, I believe, in orbit around Vesta, and going to study Vesta for a few months and then head over to Ceres, which is a dwarf planet now, and that's the largest of the asteroids.
What should we be looking at, David, in the night sky right now?
Well, there are some minor meteor showers that are coming up right now, nothing special. A comet that I discovered back in 2006 is supposed to be very close to the Earth, but it's really too faint to see. Unless it goes into outburst, then we won't be able to see it for a while this time.
David Levy, always a pleasure. Our regards to your lovely wife, Wendy, and I hope you have a great new year.
Thank you, and Wendy sends her regards as well, and thanks for interviewing me today.
Thanks a lot. David Levy on the Buckmaster Show. The next half hour of the Buckmaster Show going to be devoted to health issues. We'll begin with Jack Challum, the nutrition reporter. Then we'll talk with the author of a new book called Healthcare in 2020. That's coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Republicans who are trying to stop Mitt Romney's winning streak are in South Carolina now, and they're portraying Romney as someone who doesn't care about laid-off workers and who is out of step with conservative Christians. President Obama says that he'd like to reward companies that invest in America and do away with tax breaks for companies that don't by shipping jobs overseas. The man who is still a prime suspect in the disappearance of American teen Natalie Holloway in Aruba in 2005 could be facing as much as 30 years in prison when he's sentenced Friday for the killing of a woman in Peru. On Wall Street, stocks remain mixed. The Dow is down about 44 points at 12,419, while the NASDAQ is trading 5 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor, and the Inn is proud of its AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
.12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. The next half hour, we'll be talking health here. We'll begin with Jack Chalom, known as the Nutrition Reporter. He's also the contributor on nutrition to the Buckmaster Show. He publishes a monthly newsletter known as the Nutrition Reporter. Based in Tucson, Jack is a personal nutrition coach. He's one of America's most trusted health writers. He's a member of the American Society for Nutrition and the best-selling author of more than 20 books, including his latest book, No More Fatigue. Jack, how are you? How's the new year treating you so far?
Very well. I'm enjoying it. I'm certainly enjoying the weather. This is as good as Tucson gets.
You know, the first 7 or 8 days of the year, I think it was the warmest ever recorded in Tucson, and we had one of the coldest and wettest Decembers. So now the weather's perfect.
Yeah, climate change.
There you go. The Nutrition Reporter, the January issue, some very interesting pieces, Jack, that you have assembled. The lead article, certain supplements may enhance the treatment of cancer patients.
This is really what you won't hear from your oncologist if you're a cancer patient. And part of the problem is that most cancer patients have multiple nutritional deficiencies. If they didn't have them before treatment, they certainly have them after. And really, it's no big surprise that some nutritional support helps strengthen, fortify patients for what they have to go through in terms of surgery and chemo and radiation. One of the studies looked at omega-3 fish oils, and that found benefits. Another one looked at curcumin, which is an extract of turmeric root. It's a spice you find commonly in Indian and Southeast Asian cuisine. And there is actually a lot of research underway on curcumin. A lot of it's being done at MD Anderson in Houston. Very, very positive findings. I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of patients have to fend for themselves because their oncologists don't really know what's going on in this area.
And don't the oncologists many times tell them to stop taking supplements?
They do, and that's often the wrong advice. Sometimes on treatment days, it's better to stop, but then the day after, you basically should refortify yourself. And I tend to favor more aggressive, higher doses. And that's really based on what my physician friends are recommending because they're treating patients like this every day.
Jack Chalom is with us, the Nutrition Reporter, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any questions for Jack, give us a call and we'll get you on the air. You were mentioning about fish oils. One of your pieces says that studies have revealed the details of how fish oil actually works as a blood thinner. I had heard this before, and these studies confirm it.
Yeah, one of the blood clotting factors is called fibrinogen. And the latest study really builds on earlier research showing that when you increase your omega-3 fish oils, and again, you can get these from eating salmon, from taking fish oil capsules, your blood levels of fibrinogen decrease, which means you're less likely to have abnormal heart attack causing clots.
The pycnogenol, is that how that is pronounced?
That is.
Supplements lead to improved cognitive function. The reason I know how to pronounce that is because a lot of research has been done at the University of Arizona, and I have interviewed, I think his name is Dr. Ronald Watson, who has really led the charge on pycnogenol.
Yeah, Dr. Watson is great. I know him, and I meet up with him from time to time. Pycnogenol is really an herbal extract. It's a derivative of French maritime pine bark that undergoes processing and either encapsulation or tableting. And this study done in Europe showed that students who took pycnogenol really averaged about 7.5 points higher on various test scores compared with students who weren't taking pycnogenol. And I think it works for a number of reasons. People often forget that the nutrition in the brain is as important as the nutrition for the heart.
How much of it should be taken?
I think
it can tend to be a little expensive.
Yeah, it can be a little pricey. I'd probably suggest a minimum of 50 milligrams a day. That's one tablet or capsule going up to maybe 150.
And it is spelled P-Y-C-N-O-G-E-N-O-L. Pycnogenol.
And if someone wrote that down, they can go to pycnogenol.com for a lot more information and research.
CQ10, reducing cell damage after exercise. This was an interesting study.
Yeah, one of the things that happens when we exercise strenuously is it really is a stress on the body. The body needs to rebuild after that exercise. And coenzyme Q10 is an interesting vitamin-like substance, and it seems to minimize cell damage that typically occurs after strenuous exercise. Other antioxidants will have similar effects, vitamin C, vitamin E.
You know, we're talking about keeping your brain healthy while aging, and high blood levels in several nutrients might help prevent brain shrinkage, which is a risk factor, which makes sense, I guess, for Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, this was a study done in Oregon, and what the doctors found was that either B vitamins or vitamin C or vitamin D or vitamin E or the omega-3 fish oils, once again, seem to reduce the risk of brain shrinkage. And brain shrinkage is a major risk factor for Alzheimer's disease.
And again, we had Dr. Weil on. He was talking also about fish oils. And is the figure about 2,000 milligrams a day? Is that what you're comfortable with in the fish oils if you're taking
for most people? And that's roughly 2 to 3 capsules a day.
12:41 coming up now on the Buckmaster Show. And I think we're going to be ready to go to the Buckmaster Show live line for Jack Chalom. We have Rita on the line. Go ahead, Rita.
Yes. I know this may be off topic a little bit. I'm back on the fish oil.
Go ahead.
Okay. I forgot the dosage that helps older people with cognitive disorder. I had 2 brain injuries that now I have cognitive disorder.
Right.
And also he said it helps with depression in older people.
Yes, I think that's one of the things that Dr. Weil brought up in our discussion last week.
Was that 1,200? Buddy?
Well, let's go ahead. We'll talk a little bit about dosage. Thank you, Rita. Thanks.
I think on average, 2 to 3 capsules a day is what is in the research showing benefits. You know, I can't really prescribe on the air, but I can certainly discuss the research. And so I would certainly be comfortable recommending 2 to 3 capsules a day. And that'll be roughly 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of fish oils.
And you can space that out. You don't have to take it all at once. Probably be best to break it up. I kind of break mine up in the morning and in the evening. Fish is, of course, very good for you, and one of the items that you have, eating fish may reduce stroke risk.
Yeah, again, this was an interesting study that looked at the two major types of stroke, the type caused by a clot, the type caused by a leaky blood vessel in the brain. And both types of stroke were reduced by about 10%. And again, I don't think any of these supplements is a quote-unquote miracle cure in its own, but combined with other positive nutritional and lifestyle factors, it does contribute to staying healthier longer.
Jack Challen will be talking with the author Healthcare in 2020. That's coming up in the next segment. Any advice? What do you see for the next 8 or 9 years in the healthcare field?
Well, when I look at the cost of medicine these days, I mean, it's going to bankrupt this country regardless of who's paying for it, whether it's private or government, unless we regain a very strong focus on prevention. And I think nutrition should really be the key part here because nutrition is the foundation of our biochemistry.
Yeah, Jack Challen, some good thoughts there, and thank you very much. Jack, where do folks get a hold of the Nutrition Reporter, your monthly newsletter?
At my website, nutritionreporter.com. I've got some back issues that are free for the download, and they can subscribe through the website.
And you can hear Jack Challen monthly here on the Buckmaster Show. Jack, thanks a lot. We'll look forward to hearing from you in 2012. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Jack Challen with us on the Buckmaster Show. And then coming up after we hear from the Buckmaster Show lineup of fine sponsors, we will be talking with the author of this new book, a veteran journalist. The book is Healthcare in 2020. Stay with us.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Coming up on 1249 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners who listen to the Buckmaster Show in Globe and in Douglas all together pretty much have the entire southern portion of Arizona covered here on the Buckmaster Show. Healthcare is expected to change more over the next 10 years than it has in the past 50. By the end of the decade, 20 cents of every dollar will be spent on health care, and there won't be enough doctors and nurses to provide care. If gasoline had risen at the same rate as health care spending since 1980, we'd be paying about $9 per gallon. So more spending and more comprehensive insurance coverage, does it mean better outcomes? Well, no, says award-winning veteran health journalist Steve Jacob in his new book, Healthcare in 2020, where uncertain reform, bad habits, too few doctors, and skyrocketing costs are taking us. He puts together about 6 years worth of reporting on healthcare policy, distills it into this new, very revealing book. He joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, Steve Jacob, in the Live Line from Dallas. Steve, how are you today?
Great, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing very well. And, you know, I think contrary to what many people believe about Obamacare, that it was largely shaped by the healthcare industry rather than the president.
Yes. Based on my research, essentially more was spent on lobbying for this healthcare bill than on any piece of legislation in congressional history by one industry. So really this bill was shaped by, and you know, frankly, it was not only shaped but paid for primarily by the healthcare industries. You know, the medical device makers, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, they all kicked in billions of dollars to expand coverage, to fund this expanding, particularly of Medicaid, but also to subsidize insurance on the exchanges in the hopes that that business is going to come back to them, because once people actually have insurance access, they'll then go in and use services, and that will kind of grow the pie. So, yeah, I think, you know, again, it's branded as Obamacare, but I think behind that was a whole lot of folks that really had an awful lot more to do with it. Obama really wanted to do more traditional health reform, but really what came out of it was more of a watered-down health insurance reform where, you know, people, where insurance access is expanded to people who are uninsured, but, you know, the fundamental nature and problems of health care really are kind of unaffected.
Steve Jacob is with us. He's the author of a new book called Healthcare in 2020. Steve, give us your idea of what healthcare is going to look like about 8 years from now.
Well, it's going to be very expensive. That's probably the top line version. I happen to have written a column, and I was able to kind of take it down to some state level data. And let's take a look at Arizona, for example. If you look at employer insurance, and that's where, you know, most people have their insurance, it's either through the government with Medicaid and Medicare or through their employer. But in Arizona, about 51% of businesses offer health insurance to their employees last year, and that's just a little bit below the national average. But if you look at what the premium cost was in Arizona in 2010, it was about a little over $14,000. Now, that's total cost. So maybe 40% of that was picked up by employees and 60% was picked up by the employer. In 2020, if healthcare costs continue to grow like they have been in Arizona, that will grow to almost 24,000.
Oh, it's a huge, huge jump.
Now, if you take the employee share of the premium, that will probably double. Right now, or last year was a little over 4,000, and then in 2020 it'll be about 8,000. And the reason for that is not only the growth in the health insurance premium, but the fact that employers more and more are shifting the cost of that health care premium to employees. And I think anybody who's got employer insurance sees that every year, where it's either more expensive or a little bit more watered down or a combination of those two things.
Steve, what do you think the best way is to cut the health care costs?
Really, the best way to cut health care costs, it really gets down to the individual person, because the major drivers of health care costs in this country are medical technology, you know, the use of very expensive procedures and tests. And then the other is what I call market power, where a lot of healthcare systems that are sort of enjoy almost monopoly control over their given markets are able to pretty much dictate what they can charge to health plans for being included in a network. So, you know, these things we can't touch as individuals or even as businesses. And frankly, it's kind of out of the reach of government at this point, because we choose not to highly regulate healthcare. So really, it's up to each one of us to stay out of harm's way as much as possible. And if you look at the healthiest 50% of adults in the United States, the healthiest half of adults spend 3% of the healthcare dollars. So, you know, on average, that's about $200 a year if you're one of these, you know, one of the healthy 50%. Now, if you were one of the unhealthiest people, if you were in the, you know, the top, say, 1%, you spend $73,000 on healthcare. So the idea is we have to look out for ourselves, and that's really, you know, practicing good habits. Most chronic conditions can be avoided if you, you know, maintain a normal weight, you exercise, that you eat nutritionally, that you don't drink too much, and that you don't smoke. So if you do all those things, or many of them, you're going to keep yourself out of harm's way. Unfortunately, if you take all those things that I just mentioned, only about 3% of Americans qualify on all those measures. But we have to. It's up to us.
So very, very small percentage of Americans are actually kind of doing the right things for themselves.
In the aggregate, that's true. I mean, you know, 80% of U.S. adults don't smoke, but that's, you know, 20% do. And then you take all the, and you know, about two-thirds of Americans are overweight, you know, and about a third are obese. And in terms of physical activity, now, a lot of people say that they get enough enough exercise, but that is, they're sort of a poor judge of their own activity. There was a study I cited in the book where researchers asked people, do you get enough physical exercise, you know, which is like 150 minutes a week. So, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we do that. So 40% yes, said yes, and then they strapped a piece of equipment on them. I think it's called an accelerometer, which measures actual activity, and then researchers looked at really how much activity they got, and only 4% qualified. So,
Steve, I've got a quick question here from the Nutrition Reporter. That's the name of his monthly letter, Jack Chalom. He's a contributor to our program here. Go ahead, Jack. You're with Steve Jacob.
I think Steve's right on the money, and one way to reframe this is we're basically subsidizing the people who are not taking good care of themselves. 97% of the population, people who are smoking, people who are overweight, who are eating bad diets.
Yes. That's the nature of health insurance, because for the most part, if you consider Medicaid, Medicare, and employer insurance, they insure groups. And by doing that, that's absolutely correct. The healthy people subsidize the unhealthy people, and that's really kind of the principle behind the individual mandate, because so many of the uninsured are the young people who consider themselves kind of invincible and don't have that much money and figure, I don't need health insurance.
So I think the message would be the takeaway message, right? You better try to get into that 3% take care of yourself.
And that makes it very difficult because, you know, we have engineered with technology, one of the main goals of technology is to kind of wring all physical movement out of our lives. And then, of course, you know, food and beverage companies spend billions every year trying to convince us to buy and consume in great quantities whatever they are selling. So it's, you know, we really have an uphill battle to kind of go against the grain to do all those things that 3% does.
Steve Jacob, thank you very much. Healthcare in 2020, I assume it's available online?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.com.
Steve, congratulations on the book and certainly an important topic. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
All right, Steve Jacob, veteran health journalist, talking about his new book, Healthcare in 2020. And Jack Chalom, thanks for sticking around and listening to Steve. And you had a good question there. Thanks a lot, Jack. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants. It is the tax season. The guy we recommend, the firm we recommend, Mike Flowers and his firm, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at Flowers Rieger. That's RIEGER.com. Check them out. That's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we'll talk more about this proposed postal closing. Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez will be joining us. She is not at all happy about it. She's let the Justice Department know. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.